Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here's a pass across. Tic-tac-toe scores! Tage Thompson scores! He's got 3! Hat trick for Tage Thompson!
1-2-3 for number 72, Tage Thompson, the first star as he gets goals. 23, 24, 25. You heard them all right there. Dan Dunleavy on the call. And the Sabres win it. Those are our goals of the game. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. And then 3 more from Paterka. How about Pat Malacaro? You don't even get first star when you get a hat trick for Paterka here. Poor JJ.
Your first career hat trick at that.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, little did we know that he would get the hat trick eventually for the team. And what a win for this team tonight after coming back from the road trip, playing pretty well in all 4 of the games, and only getting points in one of them. Tonight, not a statement win, but just a win to kind of reset things as the team goes into the next step of the end of January, beginning of February now, before their week and a half break, almost 2-week break. That's a big win against a team that's currently fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah, so Thompson 3, Paterka 3. I'm guessing because Paterka's third was the empty. Maybe that's what broke the tie of who was going to get first star tonight.
Yeah, Thompson at least 4 points, right, as well.
Yeah.
So, he had a point on all the first 4 goals. And how many times has Tage Thompson kind of had games like this where you see the offensive firepower he has? Did it different ways as well, not just blistering shots like Paterka picking his spot on the one shot, but, you know, tic-tac-toe to Thompson for one of the goals, so doing it different ways as well.
That's right. All right, well, immediately I know I got some texts from friends saying, like, when was the last time we had 2 hat tricks? So we'll give you that first. It was 2008, January 18th, 2008. The Sabres beat the then-Atlanta Thrashers 10-1. Derek Roy, Drew Stafford had hat tricks. So that was 17 seasons ago.
That's been quite a while.
Yes. Stafford and Roy back in 08 against Atlanta. Now, Thompson and Paterka, not only did they score 3 times each, but incredibly, they're both a +6 in this game. The last time 2 Sabre teammates finished a game +6, go back to 2 more names that you'll know, Alexander Mogilny, Pierre Turgeon. They did it 1991, ironically enough, in January again, and they beat the Leafs that night 9-3. Neither guy, though, did have a hat trick in that game.
Interesting.
Yeah. So some cool reflection there. Roy and Stafford, and then you've got those two, Mogilny and Turgeon. Some four names that are definitely recognizable names here in Sabres history here if you've been following the team for the last 20 or so years.
When you said Mogilny, I thought immediately you were going to follow it up with LaFontaine with the 100-point seasons together. But
yeah,
even further than that, quite the number.
Yeah, so Thompson with three, Paterka with three. Benson adds a late power play goal with 13 seconds left on a deflection to cap off the night here. 7-2, Buffalo rolling Boston. We'll be heading down to the locker room in a moment here as Paul Hamilton's awaiting to go into the Sabres dressing room, so we will get some player reaction from this one. Pat, Dan Dunleavy finished the broadcast by saying, hey, now we see, you know, it's tonight's an example of seeing what the Sabres team is capable of, and not to be Debbie Downer on a night like this, but this is a night where Sabre fans are probably also at the same time saying, like, why can't this happen? I'm not saying the two hat tricks, but why can't this effort and this result happen on a more frequent basis?
Yeah, you can kind of say this is what the team's capable of. Why don't they do this more often?
Correct.
And
that's fair to say.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's when we talk about why this team has not made the playoffs, at least with this current roster of players, which has been together for almost 3 years now, you see moments, you see little stretches, but it's never more than three games at a time.
Right.
Why can this team just not find a 5-6-7-game winning streak at any point in the season to put yourself in the conversation? And I think that's a fair question to ask when you see nights like this.
Yeah, all these other teams in the East, and we were talking about in a pregame, I mean, there's literally eight of them that are all bunched together, including this Bruins team here. You've got Boston, you've got Ottawa, you've got Tampa, you've got Philadelphia, you've got Columbus, you've got Detroit, all these teams, the Rangers, they're all in the mix right now for these final two wild card spots. They've all at some point won eight in a row, seven in a row, or, you know, 9 of 10 or something like that. Buffalo's never gotten that streak to more than three in terms of a win streak.
Yeah, this is another one of those years when we sat here a couple of weeks ago at about the midway point, and the get-in point total was about 84.
Yeah.
That's far and away below. Now, we knew that would go up, but just at that point of the year, if you could kind of kept pace with that point total, you at least put yourself in the conversation. And the Sabres since then have gone the other way, and it's gone further. They've slid further while some of those teams are able to find their footing. Eventually, you know, Detroit changes head coaches, goes on a run here. Ottawa has caught lightning in a bottle, and they've played so well that they're in a top three spot in the division even. So teams have gone on runs since then, and the Sabres have just not done that yet.
Usually you look at the top eight and the bottom eight, and you usually can draw a line with goal differential. Almost every year the plus teams are in and the minus teams are out. The Sabres, in terms of goal differential, are right there with all these other teams. Boston's in right now as wildcard one at minus 25. Buffalo's minus 15. Swayman is really struggling. Got the huge contract, held out of training camp, Pat. That's not going well for the Bruins right now.
Linus Ullmark was traded to Ottawa this offseason as well, so you didn't have that 1-2 combo. So, yeah, it's been a year of change. Look, Jim Montgomery started the year as head coach. He was relieved of head coaching duties. He's in St. Louis now. Joe Sacco is the head coach. So there's been a lot of turmoil in Boston. This was the year where you say, the Bruins, are they going to fall off finally? Slow start, coaching change, not the same roster as we've seen in the past years. But again, they're finding a way to stay in it right now in a wild card spot and just be relevant as you get to this February break.
Yeah, Swayman's numbers have been bad, and you're right. If Swayman can regain some good form, then maybe Boston finds themselves in a playoff spot. But these other teams that are right on the cusp here, Detroit's 2 points back. They're minus 13 goal differential. Montreal's 2 points back, minus 18. Philadelphia's three back. They're minus 19. Those are all worse than Buffalo.
Yeah, and a couple of teams there that...
Yeah, all right, more in a moment. Down to the room, here's Tage Thompson with Paul.
Tage, a couple of hat tricks. Your line obviously did very well. The whole team did very well. What went well as far as offensively that you guys were able to get into and stay into a flow?
I think puck possession was great tonight. I thought our D were very calm with it, going back for pucks on our breakouts. Thought the forwards were supporting well through the neutral zone. And obviously when the D get up in the rush and join you know, we have a lot more options and kind of pushes their D back a little more. So I thought we were great off the rush tonight. Had a lot of chances there. And then I think in zone we were just putting pucks to the net and winning those retrievals in the corners. So, it was a good game offensively for all of us.
I ask you this at the end of the first, but you guys did it again. I mean, both times Boston scored, you guys immediately responded, and that has to be huge for the bench.
Yeah, I mean, the goals are great. The response is great. I think, right after a team scores, that's the most important shift of the game, and that can dictate the outcome of the game. And, we've been on the other side of it where they score and they turn it into another one and then deflates you. So we know how important those shifts are. Whether or not you score, you just got to get the momentum. And fortunately, we were able to score on both those shifts. So big goals at key points in the game, and I think it crushed any momentum they had going.
How important is it to have that kind of growth? I mean, to finally have that happen in the season where it's been such an issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I think doing it once is obviously, I wouldn't say a fluke because we committed to playing that way, but consistency's got to be a factor. That's a situation we're going to get ourselves into a lot throughout the season. Been in a lot of those situations where we have a lead, they score, and that next shift is a huge impact on the game, and tonight we were able to crush any momentum they had and kind of tilt the ice back in our favor, and that's got to be something that we have moving forward every time the other team scores, and even if they're not scoring, if they're getting a push, we get those TV timeouts to kind of regroup and reset. But love the chatter on the bench. Everyone was calm. There was just a good composure, and I think we just knew we were coming out with a win that time.
Dave, what helped you find that extra level over the last week?
Just think, I feel like I've had some good looks, good chances. I feel like just they've been going in for me. I think anytime you're getting looks, it's a good thing. I think our line's been doing a great job of generating and creating chances. And a couple of those games in the past, we've been, facing some good goalies or bad puck luck, whatever you want to call it. And now it's starting to open up for us a little bit. And when you get stuff rolling like that, you got to just ride that wave and keep firing pucks at the net and get to the net. When you do that, good things happen.
When you have on that third goal, when you come down and make that quick move, do you know that's going to open up the defenseman and help you screen the goalie?
I'm kind of by myself there, so he had a good gap on me. Didn't really have anywhere to go, so I'm just trying to find a lane and get it through his legs and use him as a screen. Kind of just waiting for him to move his stick there and shoot it through his legs and hopefully get it somewhat close to the spot that I'm looking for, and hopefully Swayman's not ready for it. And obviously Zadar is a pretty big guy, so it's a pretty big screen to use there.
Dave Thompson on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, thank you, Paul. Thompson with goals 23, 24, and 25. The first of the two hat tricks in this one. Paterka, of course, the other. He got goals 12, 13, and 14 tonight for Buffalo. Benson, the other tally, 7-2, the final. Sabres beat the Bruins. Up next is Nashville on Friday. Rob Ray, Hall of Fame night here, will carry that ceremony starting at 6 o'clock on our flagship station on WGR. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, you can also listen to that broadcast on Friday if you're not able to be here at KeyBank Center. If you are coming to the game Friday, Sabres are asking fans, be in your seats no later than 6. The doors will open at 5 for this game with Nashville. But back to tonight, Pat. Also, the power play getting a late goal there, but in general, the power play lately has been struggling. And tonight, at the very least, it's a wash with Boston as they each got one.
And not taking many penalties either. Didn't allow Boston.
Two only.
Right.
Yeah.
And none of the first period, the first penalty for Buffalo, Samuelson penalty that results in a power play goal for Boston. But as you heard there, it's the answer right away. Not letting the Bruins get any momentum after Marchand scores that one-timer from the slot. Paterka was not going to be denied, gets a second goal, cuts to a couple of defensemen, and scores at a bad angle. A couple of goals Swayman's going to want back tonight, but as you said as we open postgame, it's kind of the way the season has gone for Jeremy Swayman and the Bruins so far. He has not been up to that standard that he has set for himself with a couple of years in Boston now, and the Sabres able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, Boston, one of two, so just two penalties. Very disciplined for the Sabres tonight. Sabres were one of three. That's your Dynabray.com power play update, powered by Dynabray Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. And Luukkonen, when the game was tight, did make some big saves. He had one right at the end of the period. Frederick had a really good look there at the end of the second when the game was kind of a 3-1 game. If Boston makes it 3-2, who knows there how it goes into the third. But even when the game's over, it's 6-2, he stopped a 2-on-0 at the end of the game. That was the jaw-dropping glove save.
Yeah, that's the Jouko Pekkalukkonen we've seen so many times. So tuned in, dialed into the game today. Yeah, it seemed like almost nothing was going to get by him except a couple of really nice plays.
Yeah, Paterka with three goals. We'll go right back to the room now live with Paul.
JJ, when you have a night like that, did you know right away you were kind of feeling it? The types of goals you scored, the opportunities that you created, did you know right away you kind of had it tonight?
I don't think so. I think just preparing for the game and then just see how it goes, and I think we had a good start. And I think a really effective second period, and that's, I think, the point where we saw like things are going in a lot today.
On the second goal, was it your speed that helped you split the defense?
Yeah, I saw him crossing over, going over to Tomer. So I just tried to go through there somehow, and happy it worked out.
I know you guys didn't have the results you wanted on that trip, but that game in Edmonton, did you really want to build off of that one and sort of look at that as you created a lot and you wanted to carry that into tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we had a lot of shots there too. I think that's like, I think we've been trying, working on more and more just to get more pucks to net, and I think today was a good example of that, just whipping pucks from also not too good spots with guys in front.
JJ, how do you describe the chemistry that you and Tage have together when you guys are out on the ice?
I think we're just looking for each other on the ice. I think he's really, really good at getting open in spots, and I like to create something low and then find him, and obviously he's a really, really good sniper.
Now the third guy, Yuri Kulik, is kind of new to you and you guys. It seems like you do have a pretty good chemistry with him. How have you been able to develop that so quickly?
Well, I think super easy guy to play with, super skilled, such a smart player, and I think even D-zone stuff, plays such a good, honest game, which helps us be on the offense way more.
Do you feel personally that you've been building toward a kind of a breakout performance like this?
Like I said, I just want to get better and better as the season goes on and from year to year, so just working hard, and feels good that stuff pays off.
How about the response? I mean, Boston did get two goals, but you guys, within a minute, scored both times. How big is that for the bench to know that you're moving forward and not backwards here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the past we've been struggling a little bit about that, the next shift after games, and I think just maybe getting like the one more step in, maybe playing a little bit harder the next shift really benefits.
Thanks, JJ. Yep. JJ Paterka on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paterka, second star, his first career hat trick as the Sabres win it by a score of 7-2. We'll get a couple of more final stats in here, brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots end up 33-27 in favor of Buffalo. Pat, the Sabres did not take their foot off the gas. 14 shots in the third.
Yeah, and a credit to them for that. If they sit back, does this game turn out differently? And do you learn from some of your mistakes of the past and recent past?
Back down to the room live, here's Jouko Pekkalukkonen with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Jouko, it just seemed like the type of a game, if your teammates needed you, you were there, and if you needed them, they were there. It just seemed like you all were like in sync together.
Yeah, you know, I feel like the first goal, you know, is maybe kind of unlucky with it, you know, maybe when I went back, but, you know, I feel like the guys in front of me did a really, really good job today, defensively and offensively, and you know, I tried to came up with a couple saves after that to, you know, keep the game, you know, for our side. And I think, you know, overall as a team, we played really, really good today.
How about the 2-on-0 in the third period there? What is your read there? I mean, when you got a 2-on-0 coming, are you assuming they probably are going to make a pass? Or what are you thinking? What are you reading as that's coming at you?
Usually just, you know, they usually go back and forth like at least once with it. And, you know, to stay under your feet as long as you can, and then just make kind of read when they're shooting it, and just, you know, try to get as much as you can over there, not try to, you know, make a save on it, just kind of get your body over as best as you can, and, you know, I hit my glove on that point, and, you know, it's a good save, but you know, I feel like I owed for one for the guys today.
How about, you know, when the response that you guys had as a team? I mean, the other team probably is going to score a goal or two, and they did, but within a minute, you guys responded with a goal. How much does that make your job easier when they respond so quickly for you?
I feel like overall, it's not always about the goal, but I feel like how we responded with our game today, how we came out on the first period, even on the second, we kind of, didn't have, our best period, but I feel like we still kind of stuck with it. We played as a team, and, goals are, of course, what we want, but I feel like how we stuck in our game plan today was really, really good.
Is it important to have that game go to follow that game plan and limit them the way that you did? Especially, you guys have had some wins here recently, but to have that complete game and shut them down the way that you did?
No, for sure. I feel like on a road trip we had solid games, but we still left a lot of points on the table in the games we maybe should have won, and kind of should have turned to our way. But I feel like today it was just a complete 60 minutes. Everybody played well. Everybody did their job, and of course Tomer and JJ came up with hat tricks, which is always great to see. But overall it was, as I said, good team win.
You've been with JJ for a while now. How do you feel for him to see the puck starting to go in the net for him?
I mean, I wish he would smile more, especially if he scored a hat trick. But, I'm really happy for him. We've been playing in Rochester, playing here together. And it's really cool to see how much work he puts in season, off season. How much, he has grown as a player. And, if there's a guy who deserves a hat trick, I feel like it's JJ.
But he talked about, too, that the two of you have competitions at the end of practice, but he says he always wins. Does he always win?
No. I feel like he had to be saving those goals for the games because he hasn't been scoring in practice. So, I feel like he owes me a thank you for making those saves in practice. So, as I said, it's great to see him score a hat trick.
Thanks, Ukko. Ukko Pekalukin in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, Pat, we got a controversy. Is Paterka winning in practice or is Lukanen?
Well, it's a night like tonight where you can joke about these things and have some fun with it after a couple of games that don't go your way to have some fun with a 7-2 win like that.
That's right. Yeah, Paterka and Lukanen, both very solid games. Now, let's bring up a point that Paul Hamilton wrote about. You can read the article at WGR550.com. When Lukanen gets more than one day's rest, how much better he performs. Tonight, he only lets in two. Now, one of them's a power play goal that he had really no chance on Marchand, that one-timer quick pass right in front. But the numbers in terms of when he has one day's rest versus 2 days rest, it's a huge difference this year in terms of what he's done. The save percentage with one day's rest last year, he was amazing. It was a .922 save percentage. This season, it's down to .869. Now, this year, if he has 2 days rest, it goes up to .918. Remember, he didn't play the Edmonton game. Reimer was in, so he had more than 2 days rest. He will get two more days rest here before they play on Friday against Nashville. So maybe that's the recipe for success here. You may have to lean on Reimer or Levi here and there a little bit more, because when you've shown he's got two or more days rest, he's really, really on his game.
And if the number this year to last year was a little bit closer, you wouldn't think much of it. But the contrast is so stark with only one day rest. You're right. Maybe now, as you get later in the season, look, February, there's not many games. March and April, I know, maybe they won't be in the conversation for a playoff spot, but you want to see what Lukanen can do. Do you give him an extra day here and there where you maybe weren't planning on it before, because the numbers bear out that he is much better? And it goes to your point of, even when this game was still in doubt through two periods, he made a couple of saves that kept it a 2-1 Sabre lead or a three-goal lead for the team and didn't allow Boston back into this game, allowing the Sabres to press the play offensively a little bit more and maybe take a few more chances because they knew Lukanen was dialed in and he had their back.
So 2 days of game action off, then Nashville Friday. Then after playing Friday night, the Sabres play Sunday early at 1. So we'll see if Lindy Ruff, because he talked about it, Paul asked Lindy about it, Lindy is aware of it. We'll see Sunday if we see Reimer or a call-up with a Levi playing in that 1 o'clock game against New Jersey, and then Buffalo would play Tuesday against Columbus as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me, I would say Sunday is your backup goaltender, whether it's Levi or it's Reimer.
Right.
That's probably the spot, and then you come right back with Lukanen on Tuesday.
Before they have 3 days off, before they play in Nashville.
Right. Rochester's home on Friday night. So
Levi could play then Friday night in Rochester and then take the hour drive to play here on a Sunday afternoon game if they wanted it instead of Reimer. Now, Reimer this year, he's been pretty good coming in these kind of spot relief spots. He's actually gotten the least amount of goal support on the other side. So Reimer's record may not look good, but in terms of what he's done coming in compared to Levi and Lukanen, the numbers haven't really dropped that much. What has dropped is the Sabres' goal production helping him out on the other side.
And I actually asked Paul on the post game when Levi was recalled by the club at
Seattle. Yeah.
And you know, Paul's point, and he can elaborate more on this later, but basically doesn't quite like the idea of bringing Levi up for one game in this situation right now. So it's interesting to see whether Reimer, after the one start against Edmonton, would get Sunday.
Lindy Ruff has made his way to the media room. Let's take you there live.
We really built off that second and third period we played in Edmonton where, you know, we kept pucks going to the net. I thought really played a pretty solid first period and then made a couple of great plays in the second to get the lead. I thought, you know, we got rewarded. We missed too many good opportunities in that last game, and it was good to see some of those go in.
Tage, he's obviously been locked in recently, and you mentioned finishing, and it's happening for him right now.
Yeah, you know, when I look at it, I think all of a sudden his shots are up. You know, the goals have been going in, playing on the right side. There seems to be a little chemistry with Cooley in the middle, and you know, it's nice to see. You know, if you look at the power play chance the other night in Edmonton that he had to tie the game up for us, that didn't go for him. Kind of similar to the first one he hit tonight, where he got all of it, and you know, he's getting rewarded for getting the right spot. I thought made a great effort and a couple goals.
He left it at right wing just because you like him there. I mean, is he over like what he was battling? Like, in, I guess
I haven't asked him. Basically because I've liked him there. So I haven't asked him if he's over what he's dealing with.
You're not going to do it now, right?
No, I think you saw him take draws tonight.
And he took some.
Yeah, he took some D-zone draws. So, but, you know, the playing center, he was, I mean, it's a bigger responsibility. He's coming up the ice a little later. And when I look at what he was generating, and now what he's generating, just playing the wing and letting Cooley do the work. It only makes sense just to leave him there. And the fact he got three tonight should help me talk him into it too.
Given everything your group has been through this season, are you encouraged or about the fact they stuck together and they've kept pressing on? And
we've sat through all of this, even a lot of the disappointments. We're in this thing together. You know, I said I'm at the forefront. There's a lot of different things we've tried that I think we're finally getting a benefit from. Even, you know, I thought the Calgary game, we came out really good. The, you know, first 30, 40 minutes, made a couple mistakes. But again tonight, I think if you looked at one thing, there was some puck play again that, you know, almost cost us dearly. And that's still the area that I'd really like to clean up. You know, that's the area that our staff is really working hard on, some of those decisions. You know, to give up the 2-0 where Upia made one heck of a save. So I was even clapping on that one.
But through it all, he either made a big save if somebody made a mistake, or if he needed it, they made a big play for him, whether it's a block shot or get a rebound out of there. You had to like kind of how in sync everybody was that way.
Yeah, you know, I think it, you know, it goes hand in hand. I think you can fuel and get momentum off a big save. You know, I liked our response when they scored. You know, we came right back and scored. You know, the save he made, or there was a bunch of saves, even at the end of the second period that, you know, guys are up on the bench and, I think you're right. They kind of feed off each other, and it's almost like we owe you one now.
JJ, just the difference in the last week, he's been a lot more noticeable. Maybe he didn't quite get rewarded a lot until tonight, but he seems to be on a different level over the past few.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's the chemistry of that line. I thought the line had a little bit of a tough night in Edmonton. You know, when you look what they generated and what the line gave up as a whole. Yeah, but I thought they bounced right back. I mean, their game in Vancouver was good. The game in Calgary, I liked Edmonton, a little bit of a down game for that line, but I thought they bounced back, had one hell of a night. So not many times you can have a line where you end up with two guys with hat trick on the same line. Thanks.
Okay, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff as we bring it back up here to the press box. 7-2 the final. Sabres roll the Bruins tonight. Two hat tricks. Thompson gets three. Paterka gets three. Benson the other, as the Sabres will next play Friday against Nashville at 7 o'clock. Don't forget the Rob Ray induction into the Sabres Hall of Fame ceremony. We'll have it for you live. Coverage starting at 6 that night here from KeyBank Center. If you're going to the game Friday, Sabres are saying be in your seats by 6. The doors will open up at 5 o'clock. And if you're listening in your car on your way home, we appreciate it. Your drive home from the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Kick off 2025 with a new Chevy from Paddock. All right, at this time, we're going to say goodnight to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen on the Odyssey app. And if you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can also send me your tweets. We'll read some tweets coming up at Brian WGR as we get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Paul Hamilton's take when we return. We'll get you scores from around the league from Pat. We'll read some of your tweets at Brian WGR. Update you on the standings as Buffalo beats Boston 7-2. Along with Paul Hamilton, Pat Malacaro, I'm Brian Colziel. More postgame here from KeyBank Center right after this timeout. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Frederick tried to play that to the middle of the ice. He'll be kept in at the line. Shot, Luukkonen, rebound in front. Pat, save at the near post. Oh, that's a big one by Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen right there.
Luukkonen faced 27 shots in this game. That one, one of his 25 saves. Save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. That, of course, Dan Dunleavy on the call. His partner Rob Ray will be honored on Friday. We'll carry his ceremony starting at 6 o'clock with coverage. We'll have it for you. If you're coming to the game Friday, the Sabres are saying be in your seats by 6 o'clock. The doors will open up at 5. And we're looking to have some interviews throughout the night during our intermissions with some of the Sabres alums that'll be here celebrating Rob's night. So we're looking forward to that as well. Should be fun here Friday versus Nashville at 7. All right, let's go down to the media room now and bring in Paul Hamilton here as we recap this 7-2 Sabres win over the Bruins. Paul, the last time two Sabres had a hat trick in the same game, see if you remember this one. January 18th, 2008, a 10-1 win against the Atlanta Thrashers. Derrick Roy and Drew Stafford had hat tricks.
Yeah, I was going to say, was it Martin Robert and Perreault? Or McGillney and LaFontaine? You know, it certainly has been a while. I don't know if you've already said this, but both players were plus six in this game.
It's
not very often that you see one player, yet two are plus six. They scored on 6 of their 10 shots. They both had an assist. And neither one got close to 20 minutes.
Yep.
You know, usually if you have that kind of production, you're going to play 20 minutes. Paterka played 16:08, and Thompson played 15:43.
Let me just jump in with another stat on that. The last time two Sabres teammates were plus sixes, 1991, a 9-3 victory over the Maple Leafs. It was Turgeon and McGillney.
So yeah, McGillney's been in on everything too. So
yeah.
It's fun for the fans to see, and Kulik has really blossomed since he's gotten the opportunity. It took an injury to McLeod for that to happen, but you know, he went down for a week, so Kulik was the next man up, and he totally has taken advantage of the opportunity.
But this was a game, too, where I thought they were in sync with helping each other. Certainly mistakes were made, but other than the goal that Lukanen said he would have wanted back, which was the first goal, when a mistake was made. I mean, Owen Power, what are you going to do? The poor kid fell down. I mean, that happens. You're on skates. And it turned into a 2-on-0. Well, his goaltender was there to make a big save to help him out. Or if Lukanen needed a puck clear that maybe was wide open and would have wound up in the net, the defensemen were there to do that. Clear the puck. Get it out of there. Fast transition. Let's get up ice. Let's do it fast. Let's score. Right after, all right, our goaltender gave up a goal. Let's score right away afterwards. Let's score 54 seconds after the first goal. Let's score 30 seconds after the second goal Boston scored. Instead of going into a mad panic, and, you know, Thompson brought it up. Well, Boston makes it 4-2. Well, how many times this year have we seen it 4-3 and then the penalty to make it 4-4? You know, and they didn't. They just kept going. And, you know, full marks to them for doing that in this game.
That's right. Paul Lindy-Ruff said numerous times in his press conference here just minutes ago about the chemistry with Thompson playing on the right side, Kulik in the middle, Paterka there. He's really mentioned he thought there was benefit with Thompson on the wing in the sense that maybe he's quicker up the ice. He says Kulik can handle that work right now. And we know initially Thompson moved to the wing because he was dealing with something that didn't allow him to take faceoffs. He did take a few tonight, but Lindy seems kind of convinced that, hey, right now, like, why would I touch this thing here? It's working really well for them.
He was rather amusing when, well, is Tate still going through something? He's like, I haven't asked.
I don't want to ask, right? Yeah.
Let's I don't want to ask. And he goes, the way he's scoring goals, I don't think he's going to mind if I leave him over there. You know, so, but that's when he brought up, look, he is taking some face-offs and stuff. So chances are pretty good that, you know, whatever it is at least better. Plus, I think he's shooting better. So whatever it is, I think we can tell by the way he's shooting and the way he's moving that it's better. So, I thought it was a brilliant move by Granato when he first moved Thompson to the center ice position. And Thompson had that career year where he scored, 47 goals and almost had 100 points. But, you know, it's like, well, why would you ever put him back on the wing? But now putting him on the wing has seemed to really stimulate his interest and get him going.
Paul Hamilton with us here down on the media room as the Sabres beat the Bruins tonight by a score of 7-2. Paul, just real quick, the third goal from Thompson was just a rocket, but can you just talk about how he really used Zadorov to help score that goal?
It really was fun to watch, to see, you know, how he just set him up. And Zadorov, I don't know what I want to say. I know a lot of people like him because here, if somebody hits, they're like Bobby Orr to them. And Zadorov certainly will hit, but he does some stupid things on the ice. He really does. He takes dumb penalties. He's easy to kind of pull like that. Yeah, he does hit hard, and you know he's on the ice, but Thompson just baited him, got him to open up the legs. He screens his goaltender, and it's in the net. So, a really savvy move by Thompson there to be able to do that.
Now the other hat trick. Let's talk about that, Paul. Paterka gets his first career hat trick and doesn't even get to celebrate as the first star. I assume because his third was the empty, maybe that's why he wasn't. But anyway, he plays well. His shot that beat Swayman in the top corner that got his first of his three was a nice shot. I know, you know, Swayman should probably stop it, but that got him going, and now he's been better lately, too, playing on this line with Kulik and Thompson.
Yeah, he's up to 14 goals, so we'll see where that takes him, if he can continue to do that. And you have a line that in this game had 6 goals and 3 assists for 9 points. Now, the lines were a little bit jumbled on some of the goals. I mean, Thompson scored 3 goals with 3 different centers on the ice because of changes. You know, they were changing lines, so it was like the lines were in a schmozzle because they hadn't finished changing. You know, so the first one, Cousins is on the ice because it was he was up for the next shift. And the next one, McLeod gets an assist because he was just coming on the ice. Kulik had left. He had come on. But the other two knew there was a break, so they kept coming. And, you know, McLeod makes a really nice play, you know, for the second goal. And then Kulik is there for the next one. So it's kind of funny that Thompson scores three goals with three different centers on the ice.
7-2, Buffalo over Boston. Paul Hamilton with us here. Paul, I want to read a couple of tweets and get your response here as we get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon, get to your local Verizon store today. Mark says, is Kulik here for good? The fact that he's playing on the top line makes me think so. I'll go to you. Is Kulik here for good?
Yes, unless his play really, really goes downhill. But I think he's really gaining the confidence. And you just know he's a really, you know, good player when he has confidence. And it seems like he has that confidence now. So, yeah, you never say never. I mean, he could go into a slump where they might say, you know what, he needs to go down to the American Hockey League and get his confidence back. So, but do I think that'll happen? I kind of doubt it. I just like the way he's played. And, you know, it just seems like he's getting better and better each game.
Got a couple of tweets about Brandon Saad, who was waived today by the Blues. I want to read what Rick had to say here. Rick said, winning experience. I know his offense is down, but all the winning experience could help on this team. Would he be a good pickup for the Sabres? Paul, we talked about it a little in intermission. He's got another year left on his contract at $4.5 million. We know the Sabres have the space if they want that. His numbers this year, he has 16 points, 7 goals, 9 assists in 43 games. Last year, he did have 26 goals. So it wasn't too long ago that he was putting a puck in the net, a pretty good clip. What would be your thoughts, and would you encourage Kevin Adams to put in a claim for him?
You know what? I'm just mediocre on it. I wouldn't criticize it if he did, and I probably won't criticize it if he doesn't. He is a veteran player who has, you know, been around and has scored goals in the league. He knows how to play. Buffalo is in desperate need of more veteran leadership than they have in just Zucker and Reimer. So, you know, that is a plus. You know, he hasn't really put the puck in the net at a great clip this year. But, yeah, I think it would help the younger players. But, again, I'm kind of neutral on it. I wouldn't criticize it either way.
Gotcha. Paul, let's finish with what's next. 2 days off before Friday. I know that's a key stat we've been talking about. You wrote about it at WGR550.com. So if Lindy Ruff comes back with Lukanen, his numbers have been tremendous on 2 days rest before they play Friday against Nashville.
Absolutely. You know, it's with 1 day's rest, his save percentage is .862 coming into this game. With 2 days rest, it was .918. But last year, he was great with 1 day's rest. He was at .922 last year. It's just, you know, this year, it hasn't gone as well. You know, it's gone from .922 to .862. Why? You know, I ask him and Lindy Ruff. It seems like they're searching to try to find the reason why. But, you know, he's played on 1 day's rest 15 times this year, and it was 17 times last year. And those stats I gave were after January 1st of last year, which was now it's 36 games both last year and this year. So it's a pretty accurate comparison that you have there. But what's Lindy Ruff going to do? I think he's got to play him on 1 day's rest. I don't think he has a choice. So you hope for the best. You hope that maybe it starts going better for him on 1 day's rest, even though analytics would tell you maybe you should stop playing him so much, you know, when he only has 1 day's rest. But, you know, James Reimer has been just fine as the backup, but I don't want to be running him out there all the time. So, you know, it's you're in a situation where you kind of have no choice.
Yeah, I think for sure it's Lukanen Friday. And then I'm curious to see what Lindy does because he's obviously been talking about it. They've been made aware of it. They essentially have a short 1 day's rest. They're off Saturday from game action, and then they play early Sunday at 1. So we'll see there. Does Reimer slide back there for that spot?
Yeah, and that'll be a conversation between Luukkonen and Mike Bales and him and the sports science department. And, you know, they're going to take all the information and try to figure out what's the best route to take.
Yep. Okay, Paul, we're looking forward to Friday. Also, let's remind everybody again, we'll have live coverage of Rob Ray's Sabres Hall of Fame induction, coverage at 6. The ceremony starts at 6:05. The team is encouraging everybody to be in your seats by 6 if you want to partake in watching the ceremony and listening. The doors will open here at KeyBank Center at 5. And, Paul, I know we're lining up some alumni interviews too, so it should be a good night here on the broadcast.
Yep, and it should be some fun stories that you hear, you know, during the ceremony from his teammates, Brad May, I'm sure, and Matthew Barnaby, I'm sure, will be entertaining as they can be in a PG setting. But, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep. Thanks, Paul. See you here Friday.
Okay.
All right, Paul Hamilton with us here on the post-game show. Buffalo tonight winning by a 7-2 margin. And Sabres healthy other than one player. Jordan Greenway is the only injury right now, still remains on long-term reserve. That's your injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. All right, we go back to Pat Malacaro here. Pat's going to take us around the busy night. Pat, for those dreamers out there that really think, hey, could the Sabres be in this even though they're 12 points back? The out-of-town scoreboard was friendly tonight.
It was. We'll take a look now. Brought to you by Figo Car and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. We'll start with a couple of games ongoing. Three games still left in the league tonight, including Washington with a 1-0 lead over Calgary. Pierre-Luc Dubois, 11th of the season, has given the Capitals that 1-0 edge 9 minutes to go in the second stanza out in Calgary. While Jack Eichel opens the scoring, Tomas Hertl is 19th of the year. Vegas with a 2-1 lead over Dallas, 9:48 to go in the opening period. In Vegas, while the Kraken, 2-1 leaders over Anaheim, 10:30 to go in the opening period there. One of the teams Buffalo is chasing, the Canadiens, fall 4-1 to Winnipeg tonight. Cal Connor, a pair of goals. Mark Scheifele won as well. Tampa Bay also losing tonight by an identical 4-1 score. The Rangers shut out by Carolina, 4-0. Andrei Sveshnikov, 2 goals, and Freddie Anderson, a 22-save shutout there. However, the Islanders do pick up 2 points with a 5-2 victory over Colorado. Some local college hockey action tonight saw Kenesha doubling up Robert Morris 4-2. And also local college basketball, UB, with a late second-half comeback against Central Michigan. The Bulls pull off a 75-69 win over Central Michigan tonight. And St. Bonaventure, under Mark Schmidt, he picks up his 400th career coaching win as the Bonnies cruise past Dayton today 75-53 down in Olean, Brian.
Congratulations, Coach Schmidt. We know he works magic down there. Another good season for the Bonnies. 400 wins, that's impressive.
It really is, and really somebody who's really had opportunities to go other places, has stayed in Olean, and has been rewarded along the way.
Yep, and that program is in this new age of college sports, seemingly maybe even ahead of the curve for some of these other A-10 schools right now.
Yeah, and that can only help as you get closer to tournament time.
That's right. All right, Pat, with the Sabres win, Buffalo still with a lot of work to do. 43 points. They still are 5 back of Pittsburgh. That's the first team that they can even catch as of this moment. 12 back of Tampa and Columbus, who are tied for the final playoff spot. I said this to Paul in the pregame. It looks so weird that Ottawa is sitting in third in the Atlantic right now with 56 points.
We'll see if that holds. Linus Ullmark out with an injury, more of a long-term than a short-term injury right now, but give them credit. They have found a way to get into a playoff spot at this point of the year. I don't think any of us had Ottawa.
No.
And look, Columbus is tied for a playoff spot. They're the feel-good story of the year in the league. Who had them playing as well as they are also?
Yeah, with what happened in the offseason with Johnny Gaudreau, we know that that franchise definitely started the year emotionally torn, and for them to make the playoffs would be a really, really great story for them. Yeah, I did not have Ottawa. I did not have Columbus. In fact, I mean, you know, when we were sitting here preseason talking about what do the Sabres need to do to make the postseason, well, obviously, you know, win, duh. But, I mean, there were teams on paper that you clearly thought the Sabres had to be better than, and, you know, you were hoping, would Boston fall back? Would Tampa fall back? Well, that could happen, but for Columbus and Ottawa to be double-digit points better than you right now, like, that seems not only surprising, but that just shows how bad the Sabres have been this year in terms of what they've been doing against these other teams.
The parallel team to the Sabres really has been Detroit the last couple of years. Expectations to make the playoffs, and even with some of the moves you can – pick apart the moves that, Steve Yzerman has made in Detroit, but he's tried to put them in a spot to be a playoff team by bringing in some veterans with that young group that he's had there. They're much closer than the Sabres are now, and it's even more moves that the Red Wings have had to make, and it took a head coaching change to get there as well. Both teams making coaching changes. Detroit does theirs mid-season. Red Wings are just on the edge of getting back into a playoff spot.
Yeah, 2 points back right now of Tampa. And the Red Wings have had those win streaks. They had that big win streak when they changed coaches.
Right. Look, Montreal is a team that you would have thought the Sabres would be better than going into the season. And the Canadiens have beaten the Sabres a couple of times now, right, this
yeah.
year. So the teams you needed to be better than, you're losing to them. And, of course, that's going to happen if you're this far in the hole in the conference. But you've been losing to these teams consistently. You're not even just picking off every once in a while. Like, look, Pittsburgh was here less than 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you have 5-2 loss.
Yeah. When I think of Montreal, too, I think of that night on December 17th. Remember the day before Terry Pegula met with the team in Montreal? Now, this was in the middle of the 13-game losing streak. I know
they had lost 10 by that point.
Yes. And I know the jaw-dropping one, or the highlight, the low light of that streak was the Colorado 4-0 blown lead here at home. But to me, right behind it is that Montreal game. Your owner is there. He, whether you liked it or not, he said, full belief in all of you here.
I've got your back.
There's not sweeping changes coming. We've got your back. And then they come out and lay as big of an egg as any on that 13-game losing streak.
Yeah, that is one of those moments where you just say, the team just does not have it.
Right.
And now you lose that game, and you lose two more after it because that was the 11th of the losing streak. After you really got your doors blown off you by Toronto, in Toronto, where Devon Levi gets called up as a reward for how well he's played in Rochester, stole them a period in Toronto, and then proceeded to just get blown off the ice.
I mean, you think about that. They lost 13 in there. Had there been maybe just even 3 wins in those 13 games, you have 6 more points. Now the deficit is literally sitting at 5 right now, and you would feel like you're right in the mix with all these other teams.
I'm not asking to go all the way back, but look about where that started, and you had close 1-0 losses in there. You had games against teams that are the best teams in the West that you had.
Yeah, well, look at they. Remember they had the 3-game win streak in California at the end of November. They were actually, the Sabres were sitting in third in the Atlantic. Look, we're just saying, look at how weird it is to see Ottawa there. The Sabres that night were in third after they beat the Sharks. They come home and have that 1-0 loss to Minnesota right. when they outplayed the Wild.
That would have been a 4-game winning streak.
Could not score that elusive 4-game winning
right.
streak. Then you lose to Vancouver 4-3 with a blown lead. That's a 1-goal game. And then, of course, you start December with that 4-0 lead against Colorado, and you're thinking, okay, we're putting this losing streak here behind, and you're beating a very good Colorado team, and then somehow not only do you blow that 4-0 lead, but you lose in regulation. You don't even get a point there.
Yeah, and you lose again at Colorado in Colorado after that as well. Yeah,
that's right. Another blown lead in Colorado. That was later after after they had won, because that was early? Yeah, that was January 2nd. In Colorado, but that was a game in which they were winning by double-digit goals and ended up losing in overtime. Colorado, I think Buffalo had a 5-3 lead
right.
late in that game, and then they lost 6-5 in overtime.
And then the Sabres somehow find a way to get a point against Winnipeg. That's what I mean. Like
right.
you look at that stretch right around Thanksgiving to the beginning of December. You played so well. I know Vancouver has struggled this year, but teams with a lot of talent. Minnesota had the best goalie in the league, and that's why you lost that game. You were in it. You were right in there with Vancouver. Sabres ended up beating them when they made the return matchup. Colorado's a perennial playoff team. Winnipeg, the first team with 35 wins. You played pretty well to get that game to overtime. That's all part of the 13-game losing streak.
Yep, and that's going to ultimately be the reason. I mean, we can sit here and go through all the reasons why, but it's an easy start of why is this team going to miss for the 14th consecutive year, and it's right there. It's that 13-game stretch. Even within that 13 games, we can go here and pick every game and say, oh, that could have been one, that could have been one. Like I said, even just find 3 wins in there, you have 6 more points, and now instead of being 11 back, you're only 5 back, and
right.
you're feeling like you're right in it here with still 3 months to go.
That's why when we started post-game and you talked about what the inconsistency of this team, how are you able to hold off a team like Boston, get those goals so quick after Boston scores on that, like tonight,
yeah,
and you're not able to do that more consistently. It seems like it happens against you way more often, more consistently, in terms of the Sabres giving up those goals after scoring than they are able to do what they did to Boston tonight.
Yeah. And I didn't get to some of these other tweets, but a lot of them said that same sentiment of like, see, this is what they're capable of. Like, why can't this happen more often? I don't think fans aren't realistic. They're not expecting to win every game 7-2, but this effort, this energy, this puck place, the puck decision making, the shot mentality, all that stuff tonight going to the net, like, there's no reason why that can't be there, at least on a more consistent level.
Right. Holding on to a 2-goal lead in the third period is a very fair ask by the fan base.
Correct. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Brian.
7-2 the final. Sabres beat the Bruins tonight. And again, Friday, Nashville at 7. Officially, puck drop will be at 7:23. Rob Ray's ceremony being inducted into the Sabres Hall of Fame will take place and kind of bump everything back that night. The ceremony is scheduled at 6:05. Fans are encouraged to be in your seats by 6. Doors open here at KeyBank Center at 5 o'clock. We will carry the ceremony live right here on WGR. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, we'll have it for you on the app as well, or at WGR550.com if you're not able to either be in attendance or catch it elsewhere. So we're looking forward to that. As I said, Paul is arranging some interviews with some Sabre alums that'll be here as well, so we'll have those during the intermission and on the postgame show as well. 15,607 the attendance tonight. Sabres win 7-2 as we put a wrap on our postgame. Want to thank you for listening here tonight and thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer, back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, TJ. The crew here at KeyBank Center, Tom Matty, our engineer, Paul Hamilton, Pat Mullicaro, Jonathan Colesiel. Thank you, guys. Bulldog on the pregame show. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Colesiel. The final again, Sabres 7, Bruins 2. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we will talk to you here Friday, Sabres and Nashville, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.